Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Praise Him in glad adoration.
Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. Our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Let's now join together in song with hymn number 459. From the Christian Science Hymnal Supplement.
In every corner of the earth, God comes to save and free. Break forth with shouts of holy joy. All lands make melody with trumpets. Yes, with the lyre, with voice of praise the sovereign God, O rousing joyous choir.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is God Be Praised. The hymns are 282, 459, and 448. I shall be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, Psalms. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage, where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on.
Joshua. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpet. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets. And the reward came after the ark, and priests going on and blowing with the trumpet. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout." So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city.
I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on.
Matthew. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly."
I have read a fiery gospel, written burnished rows of steel. As ye deal with my contemners, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on.
Luke. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel."
He has sounded forth the trumpets that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on.
1 Corinthians. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Holy God, we praise thy name. Lord of all, we bow before thee. All on earth thy scepter own. All in heaven above adore thee. Vast domain, everlasting is thy reign.
And from Science and Health, is God a physical personality? If we pray to God as a corporeal person, this will prevent us from relinquishing the human doubts and fears which attend such a belief. And so we cannot grasp the wonders wrought by infinite, incorporeal love, to whom all things are possible. In the Saxon and 20 other tongues, good is the term for God. The scriptures declare all that he made to be good, like himself, good in principle and in idea. Therefore, the spiritual universe is good and reflects God as he is. God, the great I am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. Asking God to be God is a vain repetition. Shall we plead for more at the open fount, which is pouring forth more than we accept? God is not moved by the breath of praise to do more than he has already done, nor can the infinite do less than bestow all good, since he is unchanging wisdom and love. Can we inform the infinite mind of anything he does not already comprehend? God being everywhere and all-inclusive, how can he be absent or suggest the absence of omnipresence and omnipotence? How can there be more than all? God good being ever-present, it follows in divine logic that evil, the suppositional opposite of good, is never present. In the quiet sanctuary of earnest longings, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. Do we expect to change perfection? People go into ecstasies over the sense of a corporeal Jehovah, though with scarcely a spark of love in their hearts. Yet God is love, and without love, God, immortality cannot appear. Whosoever believeth that wrath is righteous, or that divinity is appeased by human suffering, does not understand God. Marvels, calamities, and sin will much more abound as truth urges upon mortals its resisted claims. But the awful daring of sin destroys sin and foreshadows the triumph of truth. God will overturn until he comes whose right it is. In Egypt, it was mind which saved the Israelites from belief in the plagues, even in captivity among foreign nations. The divine principle wrought wonders for the people of God in the fiery furnace and in kings' palaces. Moses advanced the nation to the worship of God in spirit instead of matter and illustrated the grand human capacities of being bestowed by immortal mind. It is our ignorance of God, the divine principle, which produces apparent discord, and the right understanding of him restores harmony. Truth, life, and love are a law of annihilation to everything unlike themselves, because they declare nothing except God. All that really exists is the divine mind and its idea. And in this mind, the entire being is found harmonious and eternal. To feel sin is to misunderstand the power of love and the divine science of being in man's relation to God, to doubt his government and distrust his omnipotent care. There is no power apart from God. Omnipotence has all power, and to acknowledge any other power is to dishonor God. As mortals begin to understand spirit, they give up the belief that there is any true existence apart from God. Infinite mind can have no starting point and can return to no limit. It can never be in bonds, nor be fully manifested through corporeality. Truth has no consciousness of error. Love has no sense of hatred. Life has no partnership with death. The power of God brings deliverance to the captive. Mortals will someday assert their freedom in the name of Almighty God. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. Love is impartial and universal in its adaptation and bestowals. The suppositional warfare between truth and error is only the mental conflict between the evidence of the spiritual senses and the testimony of the material senses. And this warfare between the spirit and flesh will settle all questions through faith in and the understanding of divine love. Understanding little about the divine principle which saves and heals, mortals get rid of sin, sickness, and death only in belief. These errors are not thus really destroyed, and must therefore cling to mortals until here or hereafter they gain the true understanding of God in the science which destroys human delusions about him and reveals the grand realities of his allness. Spiritually, to understand that there is but one creator, God, unfolds all creation, confirms the scriptures, brings the sweet assurance of no parting, no pain, and of man deathless and perfect and eternal. The first statement about evil, the first suggestion of more than one mind, is in the fable of the serpent, Genesis 3:4-5. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This myth represents error as always asserting its superiority over truth, giving the lie to divine science and saying through the material senses, I can open your eyes. I can do what God has not done for you. Bow down to me and have another God. Only admit that I am real, that sin and sense are more pleasant to the eyes than spiritual life, more to be desired than truth, and I shall know you, and you will be mine. Thus spirit and flesh war. The serpent is supposed to say, ye shall be as gods. But these gods must be evolved from materiality and be the very antipodes of immortal and spiritual being. Man is the likeness of spirit, but a material personality is not this likeness. Therefore, man in this allegory is neither a lesser god nor the image and likeness of the one God. The revelator lifts the veil from this embodiment of all evil and beholds its awful character. But he also sees the nothingness of evil and the allness of God. The revelator sees that old serpent whose name is devil or evil, holding untiring watch, that he may bite the heel of truth and seemingly impede the offspring of the spiritual idea, which is prolific in health, holiness, and immortality. Error bites the heel of truth, but cannot kill truth. Truth bruises the head of error, destroys error. Mighty potentates and dynasties will lay down their honors within the heavenly city. The sacred city, described in the Apocalypse 21:16, as one that lieth foursquare and cometh down from God out of heaven, represents the light and glory of divine science. Taken in its allegorical sense, the description of the city as four square has a profound meaning. The four sides of our city are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and divine science. Peals that should startle the slumbering thought from its erroneous dream are partially unheeded. But the last trump has not sounded, or this would not be so. When the last mortal fault is destroyed, then the final trump will sound, which will end the battle of truth with error and mortality. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. Here prophecy pauses. Divine science alone can compass the heights and depths of being and reveal the infinite. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.
For the kingdom and the power and the glory.